Hey, welcome to episode 5 of Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. My name is Scott.
And I'm Brian.
And this week we're talking about Bret Hart, the Canadian legend.
You want to know who makes Pink look absolutely phenomenal?
Is it Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
Nah, it's this guy.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
I'm really excited for this episode. So for those who haven't listened before, my name is Scott. I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, and Brian is a brand new wrestling fan.
Yeah, I'm pretty green at this whole thing. I've been doing it for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a rapper, and he directed a music video for me that was Punchlines and Clotheslines. It's pro wrestling themed, and so we got in the ring and, you know, wrestled some guys from Utah Championship Wrestling.
And I was in the ring videoing all of this.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But then he started asking me questions about wrestling. He heard me and the wrestlers all, you know, just talking like we do, just fanboying out, again, you know, about different wrestlers. And he started asking questions, and I said the best way to learn is to just, let's do this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I had him pick a wrestler. He picked Macho Man, and I gave him 7 matches to watch. And for all those listening, he picked one of Macho Man's opponents from those 7 matches, and we've gone on and on that way. And so we started with Macho Man, then went to Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. From Ultimate Warrior, we went to The Undertaker.
To The Undertaker.
Undertaker went to Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels to Bret Hart.
Yep. It's a fun path, you know. It's a lot of top guys that we're at right now, but I think that's kind of just what I'm learning is who were the big guys in the past who made the industry what it is today.
Yeah. I keep thinking about what the podcast would be like if you had picked somebody like R-Truth or picked somebody like Sin Cara. It still would have worked, but like you're building a nice history base.
Yeah,
here.
I think what we'll do is we'll kind of go over the big guys so that I understand the atmosphere of wrestling, and then, you know, we can dive into like the deep cuts, which will be even more fun, I think.
And I have to say, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from our listeners, so keep writing in. Message us on Facebook, right on the Rhyme Time television page, anywhere you see this. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what your favorite Bret Hart matches and moments are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to list out the 7 matches that I had Brian watch and I rewatched. So it's, first, we had Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam 91.
That was a good match.
We had Bret Hart versus British Bulldog at mm-hmm. SummerSlam 1992.
He's got braids.
He sure does. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart at WrestleMania 10.
He doesn't have braids.
Bret Hart versus the 1-2-3 Kid on an episode of Raw from 1994.
That kid was like 12 years old.
Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13.
Mm-hmm, he's bald like me.
Then because Bret Hart was in the Hart Foundation, I just felt like it would be incomplete not to include a Hart Foundation match in there. I chose one of the later ones, Hart Foundation versus Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Gold Dust, and the Legion of Doom. And then we had finished it off with Bret Hart versus Chris Benoit on an episode of WCW Monday Night Nitro from 1999. Now, was this the first WCW match you had watched? I can't remember.
No, I mean, so when we went to go see that house show, or not the house show, but the local show with Rey Mysterio, that was a WCW match that you
That's
had me watch.
Right.
Him with Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to get to. Like, I think I've said it before, but I'm excited to get to a Rey Mysterio episode and also an Eddie Guerrero episode.
Yeah, for those who haven't listened to the old episodes, I like that we have old episodes. That's mm-hmm. nice. They were from like 3 weeks ago. If you didn't listen 3 weeks ago, Rey Mysterio came to town did a match with Utah Championship Wrestling, and so Brian and I went to that.
Who's Ryan?
And we what is your name? Who's what show is
who's this?
This
guy?
Where am I? Okay, I have to correct something from last week's episode.
Oh no.
So last Redacted. Week I said that Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon had the first WWF ladder match. It's not actually true.
Not true.
Shawn Michaels was in the first WWF ladder match against Bret Hart.
Oh, really?
Happened before, but it never aired. It came out on like a VHS collection.
So was the one that we talked about the first one that aired on WWF?
From what I've seen, yes.
Okay.
But I just wanted to... I
Did
just
someone
want,
rip
like
you
to do
a
my
new
research.
One about that?
Yeah.
I told you that you're a big stupid liar.
I was doing research about Bret Hart, and I saw him, you know, them touting that, and I said, that's not true. I certainly couldn't have been wrong. I was wrong. That was on me. So a couple matches that deserve honorable mentions that we didn't watch was Bret Hart versus Owen Hart at SummerSlam in a cage match, one of the best cage matches I've ever seen.
Cage matches give me the heebie-jeebies because some things can happen in there.
And that definitely happens. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 12, mm-hmm. Bret Hart versus The Undertaker from SummerSlam 97,
yep.
And definitely the Montreal Screwjob, which we talked about last week. And I think we'll probably talk about in this episode. So this intro is super long. Thanks for listening. We'll jump in next week. No, I don't know.
So speaking of like the matches that, you know, just going back to the Screwjob, I was going to choose Kurt Angle. But it was that whole, like, the politics behind the screw job that made me want to learn more about Bret Hart.
Right? Awesome.
Because that's what I find most interesting about wrestling.
You really can't have a discussion about Shawn Michaels without Bret Hart and vice versa. They were both the up-and-coming guys. Brian and I talked about it on an earlier episode, but guys like Macho Man were being squeezed out. They were legends. Yeah. They were squeezed out because they wanted to make room for new guys.
Yeah. Well, and you were talking about that because, like, I had mentioned, actually, before we started recording, how much I still love Macho Man, even through all these wrestlers that you've given me. I think he's still my favorite because he's just insane and he plays his character so well. And he was actually the commentators for one of the matches that we'll talk about. And sorry, just like the way he was picking up like the dialogue between the people like running away from the match and then the people in the match. Like I think one of them called him a scaredy cat or whatever. And he's like, oh, you just called the World Wrestling Champion of the world a scaredy cat. It was excellent.
He was one of the best. And that's so good. They knew to keep him around. They didn't want him wrestling anymore. They felt he was too old, which I think it was weird.
Really?
Because you did have younger guys. You had a new generation coming up in WWF. As much as people like to complain that they are bringing back old guys too often, mm-hmm. Got part-timers like The Rock and Brock Lesnar, stuff like that, I don't know. If you look at the roster of WWE right now and then go back 5 years ago, mm-hmm. it's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's so you've got NXT now, especially this last couple of years, things have really changed.
I feel like no character is getting developed, though, nowadays.
It's hard. I think that's
there are so many people now that it's really hard for them to like sit there and say, okay, well, who's Hulk Hogan? Who's Macho Man?
Sure.
Who's you know, just who are all these people?
I think 205 Live is a really good example of that.
205 Live is so good.
It's great action in the ring, but the
storytelling
is
hard. Oh, you're saying the opposite. You're saying
I think they're not developing their characters enough.
Yeah, like I think Jack Gallagher has a lot of potential.
He's the exception.
Like
he's
great.
He has 100% charisma. Like that mm-hmm. guy.
Well, him and they like there was a tag team match with him and Rich Swann on a team, and it was like seeing those two like dance in the ring together. Just like it was so charming, and I loved it. It was great. It was cartoons.
So give me your thoughts on Bret Hart. So you knew pretty much nothing about Bret Hart besides the Montreal Screwjob from last week. And I just want to get your overall idea. Like, who is Bret Hart to you?
So Bret Hart seems to be like, oh, man, he's just he seems to be the guy that all the kids would want to be. You know, like he's kind of just I said that about Shawn Michaels, and I want to take that back because Shawn Michaels was a dick. Now that I look at all those matches and whatnot, Bret Hart, I didn't get any of like the character stuff really, but man, he was really kind of stoic, at least from what I.
Stoic is a great word for Bret Hart.
Yeah,
like, I think that's
he came in,
accurate.
He kicked ass, he did his job, looks great in pink, and he nailed all of his spots. At least as far as the matches went that I saw.
What did you think about his ability in the ring?
I mean, he didn't go off the top ropes too terribly much. Like one of his like main things was to go off the middle rope.
Right.
You know, and so he definitely wasn't a high flyer, but slow paced matches for sure. Like that was kind of like compared to a Shawn Michaels, who's, you know, just kind of like all over the place, really fast, small guy. I would even say he was a bit slower than, you know, Macho Man, who was running around the ring all the time.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. So I have a disclaimer. I wanted to get your thoughts on him before I said mine. But Bret Hart is widely considered to be the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Interesting. Like, I guess I'm holding back some of my opinions because I'm waiting for yours.
Oh, no, I don't want, don't be scared of mine.
I liked him personally. I found him entertaining to watch. He told a great story in the ring and he knew that he wasn't going to screw up as well. You know,
oh, that's amazing that you would bring that up, because that is one of his biggest selling points.
Really?
That's awesome. We didn't, I swear to God, we didn't talk about this off. But that is one of Bret Hart's biggest selling points, is he had never injured anyone in the ring.
Yeah, he's just really technically proficient, it seemed.
He really is. And that's, and going back and rewatching these matches, you get a respect from watching him in the ring. He is very solid. He knows what he's doing. He is a master in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, he's never been one of my favorite wrestlers.
Interesting. Why is that?
I think I like the Flash. I was much more of a Shawn Michaels guy. I was much more of a, I don't know, a 205 Live guy. I wanted the characters. I liked the silliness. I wanted the Macho Man. Think
that was kind of like my thing, is he played it really straight. Like, that was kind of
so straight. Canadian straight.
I mean, he's super Canadian straight.
I mean, he is very, to me, growing up, he was dull. And I missed his biggest moments. I saw him later on in his career, and then I went back and was watching him. And Bret Hart was just never my guy. I never really connected with him. I understood why people liked him. And mm-hmm. I never thought he could cut a promo.
Yeah.
I actually never saw,
I didn't watch any of the promos.
I didn't send you any clips this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I usually try to stay, so just so everyone knows, I try to kind of stay a little uneducated on each person so Scott can teach me about them when we get on the podcast. I just watch the matches for the most part.
Yeah, you go in blind. Sometimes I'll send clips. With Bret Hart, I didn't even know what clips to send. You had mm-hmm. seen the screw job, and to me that was the most exciting thing. There was a really good clip with him and Goldberg in WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Goldberg hits him with a spear and the crowd goes crazy, and then they both just lay there for like a full minute.
Oh, yeah.
And then they stand up and Bret Hart lifts his hockey jersey up and he's got like a steel plate wrapped around his gut. And so Goldberg knocked himself out. That would have been a good clip. And he's got some promos, and you always believed what he was talking about. And so when he was talking against Shawn Michaels,
mm-hmm.
he believed it, and we believed it. We believed that he believed it, and so
well. From what I heard,
credibility there.
Yeah,
that is Bret Hart. He is probably the most credible wrestler that has ever walked the earth. That being said, credibility doesn't mean as much to me as entertainment. I don't know. I feel bad. People are gonna hate on this. Like he's beloved.
Well,
Jesus was a great prophet, but I've seen better. Like, it's just,
I wasn't a fan.
He's just not for me. I don't know. Yeah, so
I believe in art.
I've been nervous all week to do this episode because I'm just like, people are going to find out that I'm not the biggest.
Well, he
Bret
certainly
Hart
wasn't
fan.
Flashy in the ring. Like that was kind of like the other part of my thoughts is just he wasn't flashy by any means. He just did everything super well.
To me, it was like robotic.
It was, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But like, he played his persona super well, and you know, he had that the classic glasses, giving them to the kid before he enters the ring. You know, classic face stuff.
Good move. Yeah,
yeah, it's a great way to get the crowd on your side.
I will say this about Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
He is not my favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. However, one of the matches that I had you watch is in my top five of all time.
Ooh, which one is that?
I want you to guess. So we've got Mr. Perfect, British Bulldog, Owen Hart, 1-2-3 Kid, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hart Foundation 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, and then Chris Benoit.
Interesting.
So out of all those that you watched, now that you know my taste a little bit, which one would you guess was my favorite?
That's a good question.
Top five of all time.
Dang, Well, now the pressure is on. Part of me wants to say the Owen Hart one, but at the same time, I'm gonna go with... Well, and the thing is like, so the Mr. Perfect match, amazing. I loved the Mr. Perfect match.
It's a great match.
Oh, man. Well, he's fun to watch. Mr. Perfect, like, he's also, like, really proficient.
He is.
In the ring.
There's a great clip that I'll send you if we ever do a Mr. Perfect episode where he straight up saves Chris Jericho's life.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then the British Bulldog one was pretty awesome as well, but I don't think that's you. I'm going to go with the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Hell yeah! Yeah.
Did I get it?
Last shadow. Yeah, you got it. That match was incredible.
Yeah, that was...
That match was great.
So tell me why that one was incredible.
It was just the...
I mean, because I believe... I agree, but I want to know from, like, your mind, like, why.
Okay, because top five of all the wrestling
that's a big
I've ever
deal.
Seen, top five is
you
a
don't,
big
you,
deal.
You give me very little in the way of opinion.
Yeah, I always give it to you blind, and then we'll talk about it on the podcast, but, like, God damn, that match is great. That match, like, really signified the end of the, like, more cartoony era, more big guys like Diesel and, I don't know, and into the Attitude Era, mm-hmm. which was the heart and soul of everything that I watched growing up. I was watching ECW, WWE, which was F at the time, and WCW. I was just, that match, they just kicked the shit out of each other. Mm-hmm. It made me respect Bret Hart so much. You realize watching all these matches that he can work with anyone and bring the best out of everyone. Stone Cold Steve Austin is not the best technical wrestler.
No.
And it was a submission match. He didn't have any submissions. And I went and looked that up. I was like, he had to learn some submission holds for that match.
Stone Cold did.
Because he was a brawler. He definitely looked like a brawler. And they just tear the roof down. This match still gets me so hyped. I was so happy to put it on the list. It was the first I put on the list. And I said, we absolutely have to watch this. Anyone who likes this match, or even especially if you don't like this match, if you want to get a full understanding of why it's so good, Stone Cold has actually done a commentary track for that match.
Oh, really?
Where he explains everything that happened.
Holy shit.
It's awesome.
That's something I would love more of that.
Yeah, me too.
That is cool.
The Rock has done some of those. Stone Cold has done a few. Maybe Chris Jericho.
And Stone Cold's fun to listen to sometimes.
He was great. Yeah. And I just love there was stuff like when they bring in the ring bell and they hit him with the ring bell.
Yeah.
They needed a way to bring it into the ring organically, and they do that. The blading, you couldn't really cut yourself during mm-hmm. match, you get in big trouble. So he had Bret Hart offered to cut Stone Cold for him.
Oh, shoot, really?
And hide it. And so they do it. They do it 3 feet away from Vince McMahon, who's doing commentary, and they run him into the barricade, and Bret Hart literally just pokes him, you know, pokes him in the forehead, and he starts bleeding. That iconic image of Stone Cold in the sharpshooter with just blood pouring down his face.
Like, and he's like in a puddle of it.
Man, when you are 13 years old and you see that, that is everything you need in life. That was,
what you talk about at recess the next day.
Oh, and or if your friends don't watch wrestling fans, then they have no clue what you're talking about. Yeah. But I was just ecstatic. It was one of the first wrestling matches.
And then he was bleeding? Well,
Why would you watch that?
Wait, first they were in the crowd, and then they were bleeding.
There's a part where he takes the extension cord and
wraps it around his neck. That was great.
I mean, it was just so violent. But to see somebody like Bret Hart brought to that level, it wasn't like Bret Hart held his own and Bret Hart dished it right back to Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. That was the Bret Hart I wanted to see. But when you see him go against somebody like Owen Hart mm-hmm. or Chris Benoit, he matches that style perfectly. Yeah. When you see him go against guys who legendarily can't wrestle very well, like Diesel, he has the best match Diesel's ever had. Mm. You know, Diesel's best match was against Bret Hart. And so I have a lot of respect for Bret Hart, but he's not the most entertaining mm-hmm. wrestler I've ever seen. But I wonder what he would be like if he were paired up with more of the wrestlers that I love from like a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he were younger going against guys like Rey Mysterio, that's like a dream match to me.
Oh man, that'd be cool. So like, and that just like going off of that though, like, you know, speaking of like him matching the person that he's matched up against, seems that 1-2-3 Kid was slotted to be like the next big thing, or hopefully the next big, I don't know, like that's at least how they were talking it up. He didn't get a pay-per-view to, you know, devoted to him, and so like the match that you had me watch was on it was just like one of the weekly matches.
Yeah, it was on Raw.
Yeah, it was on Raw,
and people call it the best match on Raw ever.
Like, really?
Interesting. They really love that match.
It was a really good match. That was one with the Macho Man with the Security Kid.
That's great.
Oh man, I was laughing so hard at that. But like That was another good match, and it was, again, you know, Bret Hart, you know, he was putting him over, even though he beat him.
Absolutely.
You know, he did such a good job at that, too.
Same with the Stone Cold, because he beat Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But no one would remember that, I feel. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, he put people over.
I think with the Stone Cold, he didn't tap! He didn't say, I quit!
Yep.
He didn't say it!
You know what line I love from Macho Man in the 1-2-3 Kid match? I just remembered. He's like, I gotta take my sunglasses off so I can see the action.
I gotta take my sunglasses off. Oh, that's so good. Oh,
God, but that match was really fantastic. Out of, I don't know if it's the one I'd recommend out of all these. Obviously, I love the Stone Cold one, but like
the 1-2-3 Kid one is the one you're talking about currently.
Yeah, as far as like pure wrestling ability and talent, like that 1-2-3 Kid match, I still think it's like the best 1-2-3 Kid match. For those who don't know, 1-2-3 Kid went on to become X-Pac, who was in DX with Shawn Michaels later on.
Oh, really? And okay, so I was going to ask you like, what happened to 1-2-3 Kid? Because
yeah, he made a porno with China. So enjoy that. That was the most exciting thing in his career, I think.
That happened.
So he was in DX, and is he still doing things? He wrestles on the indies. He does shoot interviews where he just talks about doing porno with China.
There's no going back with that.
There really isn't. Yeah, there's not much. Just,
you did that.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing is going on with like the guys from the New Day and Paige. That whole
debacle. Yeah, I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast. Maybe we did, but yeah, it seems to be going okay for everybody but Paige. This is really shitty. It's really terrible. Let's talk about British Bulldog SummerSlam.
He's got the braids.
So
and he was married to Miss Canada, it looked like. Or
yes, Diana Hart, who is Brett's sister.
Really?
Yeah, real life, that was true.
So I wasn't sure if that was a real life thing or not. So yeah. So we got Brett Hart. So I'm only imagining the Miss Canada pageant, you know, and just like saying, well, her brother is one of the best professional wrestlers of all time.
Yep.
You know, just like.
And he's a legend in Canada. I mean, he is a hero.
It seems that Canada kind of loves their legends. You know,
they do. They treat them well.
They got Rush. They've got
they got Wayne Gretzky. They got
Avril Lavigne.
They sure do. That is not on us. But that British Bulldog match, it happens. British Bulldog, obviously British. The pay-per-view took place in England.
Yep.
And they this really is the wanted match I would always give to somebody to be like, if you want to see a hot crowd, if you want to see a crowd that is pumped up for a match, go watch this one. At the end, when Brett wins, the crowd erupts like something I've never seen. Mm-hmm. Like that, I watched it three times. I just rewound it. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It's the fastest standing ovation you've ever seen. It's 1, 2, 3... 90,000 people just on their feet, just losing their minds. And they weren't supposed to main event the pay-per-view.
Brett didn't win, did he?
No, because they were in England.
Yeah, right.
When British Bulldog wins.
I was real confused and I didn't want to call you out on it for a second.
How dare you? No, you're absolutely right. So they were in England, British Bulldog wins, and the whole place just goes insane. And that match wasn't even supposed to be the main event. What ended up happening was Brett went to Vince McMahon and said, like, look, we really got something special here. We're going to have a great match. Give England, this should be the main event. And they were like, all right, if you can see yourself being the main event, do it. And it was fantastic. And that was 1992. I mean, that was 2 years before the Owen Hart match.
It was a fun match towards the beginning of his
WWF career. It was awesome.
Yeah. That match was really fun to watch. Like I said, the Mr. Perfect match was fun to watch. Just because Mr. Perfect was an asshole and Bret Hart seemed to be really good at taking out assholes.
Yeah.
Kicking them right in their asshole. But the Owen Hart match was also kind of fun as well because Owen Hart seemed to be more cartoony than his brother. You know,
so he is real life brothers. Just I don't know if you knew for sure.
I didn't know for sure.
For real,
he was the one
brother.
Who called Bret Hart a scaredy cat, and the Macho Man bit on that Hart.
So let's talk about the Harts a little bit. Yeah. So for give you a little background
it seems
of history.
Like, seems like his, their parents were always in the crowd.
Yep.
You know, like
legends in their own right. Yeah. Especially the dad. So they, Brett and Owen are the two youngest of 12 children.
Holy crap.
The Harts are like the Kennedys of pro wrestling.
Okay.
Like Bruce, I think, is the oldest of the Hart brothers. And I think of those 12 children, 10 of them were male. And their father ran a wrestling school in Canada called the Dungeon, the Hart Dungeon. And it's legendary. It's legendary. They would take these guys and they'd call it stretching. Like, oh, yeah, we went to the dungeon. They stretched us. Basically, this old man would jump on you and put you in these submission holds and just rip you to pieces. And you're screaming. The stories that come out of the dungeon, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's torture. And the toughest made it. Yeah, the toughest made it. And the weak dropped out. And so Bret Hart was trained. by different wrestlers, a whole bunch of wrestlers, which is how his style got so smooth and varied, and he could work with all these different guys. He wasn't trained by one guy who ran a wrestling school. Stu Hart would bring in guys for his wrestling promotion, and while they were there working the territories, this was still in the territory age, way before WWF, they would have him work with Brett. So Brett was getting all this attention and training from these guys, and then sort of just became the face of his dad's wrestling company. And it was, you know, and then in Stampede Wrestling, it was just...
What's Stampede Wrestling?
So Stampede Wrestling is it's a legendary Canadian wrestling federation.
Oh, okay.
And so he would face these guys who were their champions, and he always would lose. Because he was the promoter's son, and he didn't want to be seen as the promoter's son. Mm-hmm. And wrestling has a big history of promoters pushing their own kid to the moon. Mm. And Brett knew, like, if I'm going to be in this for the long run, I got to lose. I got to get the crap beat out of me for years. And he did. And eventually, guys really start leaving the territories, and he became leaving four other territories, and he was the best guy left. Mm. And he still didn't want the belt, but he did. And he and a guy named Dynamite Kid... different from 1-2-3 Kid. He's another Canadian.
A lot of kids in wrestling.
There's a lot of kids, and they all beat the crap out of each other. And they had some legendary matches that would go an hour long, and no one had seen stuff like that. It was just really exciting. And eventually, Stampede went out of business, and a bunch of their wrestlers were acquired by WWF, including Brett. And they wanted to give him a cowboy gimmick. He was going to be Cowboy Bret Hart.
No.
So there are pictures, you can go online and find them, of him in a cowboy hat
cowboy
and boots.
Cowboy Bret Hart.
He has got a great quote where he said he told Vince, he's like, I don't think this is a good idea. He's like, you're going to be a cowboy. You're going to be a cowboy. And he's like, look, where I'm come from, if you want to be a cowboy, you need to be a real cowboy. And I'm not a real cowboy.
Well, right, because he's from Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah.
And so I used to live in Alberta. And
I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
those people are dead serious about their Alberta beef and, you know, just like that's like the Texas.
I had no idea you lived in Alberta.
Yeah, that's the Texas of Canada, essentially.
And so he's like, I hate boots. I hate the hats. I hate country music. This is not for me. I just want to. He was a jobber for a while. So awesome to know that. You know, any jobber now could go on to become the greatest of all time. And so he just fought his way up, and it was his idea to team up with Jim the Anvil Neidhart and become the Hart Foundation.
Interesting.
And after that, it was off. He was a great tag team wrestler. They worked together really well. And it came together where he was just like, well, my last name's Hart. His last name is Neidhart. Done. Same. And as a kid, I thought they were related because Bret Hart's related to everybody.
Yeah.
But not Jim the Anvil. So.
No. But like, so how did his brother get involved with wrestling, essentially? Like
Owen?
Yeah.
Same sort of way. Yeah, Owen, he was the youngest of the 12.
Okay, he seemed like the
always
brother.
Kind of lived in his brother's shadow.
Okay, and
so
he still did.
Still did. I mean, Owen had a long, cool history coming up through Canada. And he made a name for himself in WWF, but never was that top guy like Brett was. And Brett, even as good as he was, even at the time where he had the title, wrestling was taking a dip. There was the steroid scandal. There was all of this.
They were huge.
PR was hurting wrestling overall, and so numbers were going down. And both Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart complained that when they were the top guys, it was nowhere near what it was like to be the top guy when Hogan was around.
Okay.
And I think they both took it really hard on themselves.
Interesting.
But Owen was always like a mid-carder. Yeah. He faced Bret Hart in the opening match at WrestleMania, not the main event. And we'll talk more about
it. It was still a really good
Owen
match,
Hart.
Though. Yeah.
Owen's great. Yeah. He's one of the funniest wrestlers, I think.
Yeah, just I really enjoyed watching him as well. So, like, moving on to the other match. So there was the Owen match, Bret Hart match. Owen Hart, Bret Hart match. And then there was the... I don't know what you would call it. Just, like, the group, like, where it was the Hart
Foundation. 5-on-5.
And so one thing that I wanted to say at the beginning, but I just didn't... you know, I forgot, but Bret Hart has probably the coolest entry music so far that I've seen. Like just that, even just like that one note on the guitar that comes out, you're just like, oh shoot, you know. Like I would say it rivals Ultimate Warrior in terms of like, I know who that is and I'm excited.
It's a great theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's really, really good. Cause like they have the Hart Foundation come out and, you know, each of them gets their own, you know, their own entry music as they're being introduced one by one. And then at the very end, you get Bret Hart and he's like, oh yeah, that's the guy, you know, that's the guy. And actually, but like on the flip side of that match, it was so funny because, I guess the whole story leading up to this, because I was watching the package beforehand,
sure,
was that a lot of brawls had just, you know, had broken out between the Hart Foundation, and just a bunch of other guys.
Yeah. It was like, that was some against the Nation of Domination. Mm-hmm. And I think the, DOA, I think it was their name. They were like bikers. It was like a biker gang.
Yeah. There were a lot of fights breaking out and whatnot. And so they just made a match out of it. And they got all those guys who the fights were breaking out with and put them all on a tag team and made a match out of it. And so, but during like so they were cutting a promo with all of those guys.
Right.
And each of them had something to say. You know, and they were just real pissed.
Yep.
And you know, they all had their piece to say. And then like they get to Stone Cold last. I'm like, what is he going to say? You know, like, because actually,
yeah, how do you top some of those
like,
guys?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
how, like, what are you going to say that's not already been said? And he just walks off.
Yeah.
It was like classic.
It's too cool
just,
to talk.
Just real good. So I enjoyed that quite
a bit. Did you
a
like the 5-on-5?
That was a fun match. I was surprised at how speedy Goldust is with how big he is as
Gold
well.
Goldust is great. And he still is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's
fast. He was at the house show we went to.
I really don't understand how Goldust was always so fast. He never blew up. He never got out of breath, it seemed. He could just go. Goldust is underrated for sure. He had some strange gimmicks throughout the years and just...
he still has a strange gimmick.
Yeah, son of a legend, son of Dusty Rhodes, and so it was just sort of like... It's a big hurdle to get over. He's had a legendary career, but never top guy, never Dusty Rhodes level, and I don't know, he's great.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, and then the last match on there was Chris Benoit.
Right. Canadian crippler.
And so, yeah. And I was trying to read his ass and see what it said, and it said crippler. So, but I am.
I'm excited to do a Chris Benoit episode.
Yeah. Well, so this one actually isn't listed on the WWE Network. Like, I even typed in Chris Benoit and you couldn't find him anywhere.
Well, that is interesting.
That is interesting. I'm wondering what's going on there. But
and all of our fans listening now know exactly what happened, and we will get into it.
Don't tell me.
No, I won't.
Don't spoil it.
I can't wait. The Chris Benoit episode is going to be something else.
Okay. Well, but like this one, so it seemed to be an in-memory match for Owen Hart.
And that was another thing that going into this list, I was like, oh, he doesn't know about
what happened
to Owen.
Yeah, what happened?
So this is crazy. And I know we'll end up talking about it if we do an Owen episode in the future. This is super sad because Owen was beloved. Owen was like backstage. Everyone loved him the same way everyone hated Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. Everyone loved Owen equally, like that he was the guy. He was a notorious prankster. Mm-hmm. You would prank everybody, and everybody had a story of him like doing some prank to them. And he was a great wrestler, an important part of the Hart Foundation. I don't know. He was just like, growing up, he was one of my favorites.
Bret Hart's brother.
And at a pay-per-view, he was playing a character called the Blue Meanie. Everyone knew
the Blue Meanie.
Everyone knew that he was Owen Hart, but it was just a storyline where he was... no, did I say Blue Meanie? It's not Blue Meanie.
It's not Blue
Meanie. Oh, good lord. Everyone just like choked on their soda. Blue Blazer. Blue Meanie is a fat ass from ECW who we would probably never have an episode
about.
Blue
tell
Meanie.
Me, what's the name again?
The Blue Blazer.
The
Jesus,
Blue Blazer.
Sorry.
That sounds a lot better.
And it was a big cape and a mask, so you couldn't see his face, and he was basically pretending not to be Owen Hart, but everyone knew it was Owen, and, you know, it wasn't a great storyline, but they were making fun with it.
Yeah.
they did a thing which Shawn Michaels had done before, and a couple other wrestlers I think have done it, but he was coming down from the roof of the stadium.
Oh, so like Jesus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, like Jesus versus Shawn Michaels, exactly. And so he was coming down, and something went wrong with the system. I don't know, the cord system. I don't know if his tangled up in the gears or it just malfunctioned.
Oh, no.
Something happened, but he fell from the roof and he fell down and hit the turnbuckles in the ring and fell into the ring and died. Yeah.
Like on air?
Yeah, pretty much. So they cut away. It was pay-per-view. There's no footage as far as I know. I think there's some footage in the WWE vault that no one will ever see if they haven't destroyed it. There's with all of everything going on, the internet and leaks, and this was before everybody had a phone in their pocket. Yeah. So, like, literally there's never been footage shown in public of this happening.
That's really
but
sad.
He falls and he hits the turnbuckles, almost hits the referee. The camera, the main camera, you know, pulls away. They immediately cut away and figure out what the hell's going on. You know, you don't even have a commercial to cut to because you're on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So they stretcher him out. And then, I don't know, half hour later or so, later in the show, JR makes the announcement that Owen Hart died and he's dead. So it's just, and the show goes on.
The show just keeps going.
Yeah, and they don't know if they should keep the matches coming. Everybody's freaking out backstage, obviously. It's like one of their best friends.
Right,
and
right.
So they make the decision to keep going. And then the next night on Raw, they have a Owen Hart tribute night. And this is when I was just first starting to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't know the full legacy of Owen Hart. I really liked Owen. He had some great stuff with the Nation of Domination. And he had a gimmick where he was really mad that people were calling him a nugget. Like a chicken nugget, and he'd just be in his voice, he'd be like, "I am not a nugget," and the crowd would chant "nugget" at him, and like he was already becoming one of my favorites, and then he died in like a really tragic way.
Damn,
it really
that's
sucked,
really sad.
So,
well, thanks,
so that's what
God.
Happened. Yeah, you're welcome. That's good. Always good to catch you up on things.
But anyway, so that Chris Benoit match, apparently, so like Chris Benoit was good friends with them too. That's at least what they were outlining in that match.
And they were all fellow Canadians. And,
oh, okay.
And they did a tribute match to Owen.
Yeah. And they did like the classic handshake in the ring and all that stuff. So you knew that, you know, nobody was necessarily going, or they were both going over, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you think of that match?
It was a fun match. It was, again, it was just like another really technically proficient match on both guys' ends, really. Because, like, Bret Hart would, you know, it seemed Bret Hart was really good at submission moves, right? The sharpshooter was his thing.
Definitely.
You know, Chris Benoit was reversing everything, but everything was so seamless, and the two just seemed to work really, really well together. And I don't know if that was more a credit to Bret Hart or it was just that both of them were great. I don't know.
Yeah. And this match happened about 5 months after Owen died.
Really?
And, you know, it didn't happen in the WWF because Bret was gone. You know,
oh,
Bret
yes, and this was WCW.
This was WCW, which, as far as I know, I don't know if Owen ever even wrestled for WCW.
Right,
I can't remember.
It just seems that the community, though, is, like, so, like, linked up.
Right.
You know, it's like...
Same way with the territories. Everybody got to know each other. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, there's only been a few wrestlers that have never wrestled anywhere else
right.
besides WWF, so...
Right.
Yeah, the Owen Hart thing was super sad. I remember coming to school. This was when I was just, you know, starting to get into wrestling. Probably been watching for like a year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine comes up and he's like, "Hey, did you hear Owen Hart died?" And I was like, "Shut up." I thought it was like an April Fool's joke or something.
Yeah.
I was like, get out of here.
Stupid.
Shut up. And we kept going. He's like, "No, I'm serious." And he told me. And then the way he told me, I was like, that absolutely did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it did. And so they never released that pay-per-view. It's not on the network.
It's not on the network?
It's not on DVD anywhere. It's literally just...
I kind of... You know, the thing is, though, is like, as curious as I am, I'm actually glad
Oh, for sure.
I'm glad. You know,
there's morbid curiosity.
There is morbid curiosity, but like at least the reverence is there, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It seems that WWE is not very good at being reverent about many things, but at least when somebody...
In the Shawn Michaels and Jesus tag team match, like...
You know, that was on the list of not reverent things that happened. I think most of the things that DX and all those guys did were pretty irreverent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just interesting, too,
Suck it!
Bret Hart was old school in the end of an era, the end of the old school era. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was just I was so deeply entrenched in everything that I thought was cool about the Attitude Era that Bret Hart just was not connecting with me.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older and I'm going back, I absolutely understand why he was as good as he was and agree that he was as good as he was. But
he was definitely the action figure I would have wanted.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely the action figure. Like, he was confident, strong, seemed to have good, just stand for the good things and whatnot. You know, like I said, he seemed to be the guy that all the kids wanted to be, at least to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so just going back, if I was into wrestling then, he was my action figure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just to wrap up his career post Montreal Screwjob, obviously everybody knows he left to WCW, and that's why the whole thing happened. And I mean, after leaving WWF, things did not go great for Bret. You had Owen dying. He never had any really good feuds in WCW. Mm. WCW was kind of a shit show. It was poorly booked. It was just, there were things about WCW that I loved, but they did not know what to do with Bret. Eric Bischoff from WCW has come out and said that the Bret Hart of the WWF was not the Bret Hart that showed up to work on WCW.
Oh, interesting.
The career had just sort of died and fizzled out, and the passion that he had sort of fizzled out. And so you hear both sides and you don't know.
He was the guy in the cubicle said, "I've been here for however many years."
Yeah. And now you switch to a new company with new protocol. You're exactly right. Yeah. So his career ended in December of 1999.
Tell me, okay, first off, before you keep on going, tell me, is he alive?
Oh, Bret Hart is still alive.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Thank goodness, because everyone is dying.
I know. I can tell.
Even before we can get to an Owen.
Oh, Macho Man? Oh, no, he's dead. Yeah. Oh, Ultimate Warrior? Yeah, totally
he's
dead.
He's very dead.
Yeah, Owen? Dead, yeah. So, his career ended with a kick to the face from Goldberg.
Oh, shoot.
Goldberg shot him off the ropes and said, you know, watch for the kick. And Bret has come out and said, I had no clue what kick was coming. And he kicked him with like a super kick sort of thing, sort of like a Sweet Chin Music.
From a Goldberg. That sounds really terrible.
And it connected like sort of on the side of his head by his ear and the neck. And it just gave him the nastiest concussion, and the doctor was like, you're never going to wrestle again. The doctor said he touched back there. It felt like hamburger. It was a jumbled mess.
And damn.
So his career was over before ever really getting a chance to do anything in WCW. Then he had a stroke, most likely from that kick and the concussions 3 years later. And then a long time in 2016, he got prostate cancer and went through that. And so now I believe it's in remission and he's doing okay. But it's just like, you just feel really bad for Bret Hart, because all he did was be consistently great and work his ass off for decades.
Yeah.
And he never truly got the shine he deserved. His championship reigns weren't as great as they should have been. His legacy's not as great as it should have been. It was just, even though he's not my favorite wrestler, I have to, like, I know he deserves more respect than he gets.
Yeah.
And it's,
well,
it's
so
just
what
too
is
bad.
What is he doing now? Is he doing much?
No, I mean, he does signings and appearances.
Really?
So
he's not like a
he was on The Simpsons.
Well, that's great.
I think that was back in his WWF time, though. He, like, there's a great scene.
That's awesome.
It's one of the clips I would have sent you, but he, like, yells at Mr. Burns. Like, he buys Mr. Burns' house, and he's like, get out of here, you pencil neck geek! And, like, it was great.
Well, so he's not like a Mick Foley or anything like that, where, like, they come back to...
He has come back a couple times, and they release...
I mean, but then again, he doesn't really have the personality to, like, really hold...
No, but if you're in Canada and you bring him out, the crowd freaks out.
Right, well...
So he does get enough respect. You just sort of like Daniel Bryan, how his career ended too early and was always the underdog. And even and when see, he made
I know
it to
nothing
the top,
about Daniel Bryan either.
It's kind of a similar story to Bret Hart in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So that's, I feel like I talked too much in this episode.
You know what though? No, this was like really honestly me just sitting down to learn about this guy because I had no idea. So there have been a couple episodes where I knew a little bit about. Well, I actually didn't know much about Macho Man. I knew a little bit about Ultimate Warrior, just a smidge.
Sure.
But you know, this one I'm coming in completely.
Yeah.
So,
and I had to do more research on this episode than I had any of the previous ones.
Well, because he wasn't a guy that you would really watch much
of. I never
of.
Read his book. Even I when never I read, like, watched his documentary.
We stopped recording and you're like, I got to do my homework.
Yeah, I was like, when you picked Brett, I was like, I knew this episode was coming. I know that he deserves, you know, the research to be done. And I mean, just some of these stats. He was the world champion 7 times. He was the Intercontinental Champion 2 times. He was the United States Champion 5 times. 3-time Tag Team Champ. Won the King of the Ring Tournament. Won the Royal Rumble. He's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like, I mean, he's one of the best.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the best. He may not be my favorite guy where I'm just going, oh, it's sort of like watching an art film.
Yeah.
Where you're going, it's not the most pleasurable to watch, but it's important and you need to watch it. And I think that's a great way to sum up Bret Hart.
He is an art film.
He's a walking, breathing, wrestling art film. You know, and it may not be everybody's cup of taste, but you should read a book on why it's important, because it is. And he's very important. It's just not easy watching all the time.
Yeah.
You know, one of the matches I didn't have you watch was the Iron Man match against Shawn Michaels. I mean, 60 straight minutes of a Bret Hart match. I was like, I think it's too soon. I don't want to, like, I don't want to ruin Bret Hart for you.
Yeah.
By just giving you that match without any of the build up, without it, you know, it was a product of its time. But I didn't think it would play well.
You know, and I would have watched it for sure. The thing is like, I'm still consuming very hungrily all wrestling, all things wrestling. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I found
Lucha Underground
on Netflix.
Yeah, he texted me the other day and he's like, are you watching this Lucha Underground thing? And I was like, oh, it is.
Oh, it's
awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm in love with masks.
Me too. That's. I think 205 Live, I just sent this to Adam from the Ultimate Warrior episode. I just sent him a text and I was like, 205 Live needs more masks and costumes and pageantry. And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
We'll get into those guys.
Right. But no, like, but I'm devouring it very hungrily. I'll watch basically anything, but an hour long match with Bret Hart sounds kind of soul sucking.
It's
like,
yeah,
the thing is, like, some of the Shawn Michaels matches were getting me a little bored. I can only imagine.
Yeah, 40 minutes plus, you know. Yeah. And then 60 minutes. It's an amazing match, but I just felt like you don't quite have the context for it yet.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like, I just wouldn't show that to somebody just starting out, just being like,
oh,
you
want to get into wrestling?
Here you go.
Look at this.
Yeah, here's a week of your life you'll never get back. So. So every week I like to do something called story time, where I go find a story or two about these wrestlers. And I think this is a great way to wrap up the episode. Two things. These are both pretty lighthearted for a guy with all the screw job stuff and all the, you know, the concussions and all that shit. Like, I wanted to go find some more lighthearted stories. And the two that I found is that Bret Hart used to babysit Randy Orton. So Randy
Viper
is just Randy Orton is a third generation wrestler and he grew up with wrestlers and grew up in wrestling. And while his dad was out performing, he would hang out with Brett, and Brett would just take little Randy Orton, the littlest Viper, and just hang out with him. And so that was something I had no clue about I saw an interview with Randy Orton talking about that. This is his favorite Bret Hart, you know, memories. And he's like, oh, you used to babysit me. You know, it's just...
And the funny thing is, so here's the thing, is like, I'm not imagining Bret Hart in like normal clothes. I'm imagining Bret Hart babysitting with...
full decked out sunglasses. Pink, pink and black. Yeah, a little baby Randy. I picture baby Randy Orton also looking exactly the same.
Same here? Yeah. With like his trunks and everything?
Oh, absolutely. The other one that I found, and you mentioned this earlier, was their pink ring gear.
Yeah, it's great.
Supposedly, the reason that they chose pink, even though hearts, you think hearts, pinks, but apparently they chose pink for their ring gear because the lady who does ring gear for WWF was out of the other colors.
Really?
And was like, and they were like, well, we're the Heart Foundation. We need to go right now. We need to get going. And she was like, I have to go get more ring gear color. The only fabric I've got is this hot pink. If you want that, we can have that. And they're like, we got to wrestle tomorrow. So yes, we'll take
it.
And they Vince saw it and told them to never change it.
Yeah.
Vince saw that and was just like, that is the Heart Foundation.
So did they come in as the Heart Foundation?
No, they were both just two guys, both really not doing too much. This is where that cowboy Bret Hart gimmick was coming. He's like, I don't want to do it. Team me up with Neidhart. He said that he was on the verge of quitting. He said, I was going to quit the next day. I was going to call them. And then he got a phone call saying, hey, we're going to team up with Neidhart after all.
Okay, and that's when the Heart Foundation. And so then where the hot pink came in.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
It's just one of those things. It just works out that way.
Yeah, because I freaking dig it. Because like, he's even got little variations. I mean, I know they all have variations of their gear and whatnot. Yeah. But like,
he looks cool. He pulls off pink better than anybody.
He looks like a badass.
Yeah. So any other questions you have about Bret Hart?
Nah, I like him a lot. I really enjoyed this episode.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to run down the opponents one more time.
Yeah, for me to choose from?
For you to choose who our next episode's going to be. Mr. Perfect, British Bulldog, Owen Hart, the 1-2-3 Kid / X-Pac, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Gold Dust, the Legion of Doom, should be our first tag team episode, and the Canadian Crippler Chris Benoit. So out of those guys, now that you've seen them all wrestle at least once, I gotta know who next week's episode is gonna be about.
I think I know. I think you know who I originally wanted to choose, but that Chris Benoit thing has got me wondering. So
well, shit, here we go.
Yeah, let's all get right into that.
All right, next week's episode will be about Chris Benoit. I know everyone's going to tune into that one. Everybody, I'm going to come up with that match list tonight. We're recording that one as soon as possible. I'm excited,
awesome.
Obviously.
Awesome.
Okay, so again, let us know your favorite Bret Hart moments, your favorite Chris Benoit matches, and email us at rhymetimetelevision@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook. Leave us reviews on iTunes. That really helps with the algorithms, get us pumped up. I'd love to see a bunch of reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, we're actually like up in them ranks too, so like help us out there.
We're getting more downloads every week, and I'd love to hear back more of the episodes. We got feedback on the Undertaker episode from my friend Q1 saying it wasn't long enough.
Really?
Which I'm always worried.
It was almost an hour.
I know. And he's like, I just wish it were like a little bit longer.
Really?
We could do more.
We may have to throw in some more segments.
Yeah, I would love to hear from you guys of what we could do better, what we could do differently. We've got a lot of feedback now about adding in some audio clips. We're going to start working on that. We've got when you see us on Facebook and Podomatic, the matches and links to matches are going to be in there so you guys can watch along. I'm excited, and let us know what you think of like current wrestling. Literally, Payback is going on right now. My friend James is there, and I'm super jealous. It's back in like my hometown where I used to go to wrestling.
Really?
So I just forgot until I saw his post today that it was in San Jose.
Dude,
and I was
legit.
Like, oh, I would have been there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast, Rhymetime Television production. My name is Scott.
I'm Brian,
and we'll catch you next week when we talk about Chris Benoit. Thanks.
Benoit.